And by the way, the S4B crunched in on time, and it's been ringing the LSEP seismometers like mad for some time now.
Fox and that's Fox. How do you read the LMB, Gordy?
Loud and clear, Jay.
Okay, good. All right, I've got a visual on Eratosthenes and Copernicus. They're obviously different age craters in this light. You can see the ray patterns in Copernicus moderately well. You can even tell that they do cross Eratosthenes. Stadia shows up as a very clear dark area to the southwest of Eratosthenes. Now, one of the things that we mapped on the south east and south rim of Copernicus were dark albedo areas within the ejecta, and those are apparent here very clearly, and also within on the upper portion of the rim and on the benches in that quadrant, the walls, there are the dark spots, lower albedo material that we map. They form linear patterns along the benches, apparently, although the benches, the topography is not too clear, but the dark spots are an arcuate linear arrangement parallel to the rim, and they appear to have be elongate along radius, along the radius of the crater.
Roger, Jack.
This is in the southeast. Southeast quadrant I'm referring to. Copernicus H is also very obvious, is a dark rimmed crater relative to the albedo of the ejecta blanket. And the northwest quadrant, which we mapped as a smooth floor material and somewhat darker albedo, is just as apparent here. Although all the contrasts, of course, are less. The main thing that you can pick out in Earthshine are albedo distinctions. I remember that we also at one time, and I can't remember whether they made the final map or not, mapped an arcuate fault structure based on the change in albedo, and this was on the southwest quadrant of Copernicus, and that crossed the southern rim, more or less north-south, went down and curved across the floor and up the southwest rim, and that is a very clear arcuate pattern in this lighting. Darker albedo than the rest of the crater. And along the arc, there appear to be a couple or three even darker spots, much as we thought we saw in some of the early photography.
Roger.
There is a general streaking, a radial streaking within that arcuate dark area that radiates radially from the crater. And if I had to project the dark area which, north, whose northeast terminus is the arc in the crater, I'd project it off to the southeast about crater diameter and a half, maybe. And now we're getting essentially directly overhead, and again, the The dark spots within the crater wall are still apparent, and the streaming or the radial elongation of these spots is clear. Now, on the lower wall, that's below the first bench, I can see four of these dark areas, and on the next wall above that, above the first bench, there are two obvious ones and a couple that are somewhat more subtle.
Okay, and can you see anything of this, that structure we're wondering about in the central peak?
No, Gordy, I can't. The there's very little indication of relief in Earthshine, and particularly at this high sun, high Earth angle, pardon the expression.
Roger.
The central peaks do stand out, though, as a much lighter albedo area within the crater. It looks to me like the best thing you can do in Earthshine is work with albedos. Knowing the general topography from the earlier photography. We're coming up on Kepler now. Copernicus is out of my view in window 5. Maybe Ron sees it. Do you, Ron?
No, it's out of my view now, too.
Okay, Reinhold, I was not conscious. Yes, I can see Reinhold. Reinhold is one of the craters, just like Copernicus, that may have contributed ejecta into the Apollo 12 soils.
Do you see anything? An S4B, a 16th S4B hit out there to the south, I think.
Well, I don't see anything that would indicate that. Reinhold is an Eratosthenian age crater, as you may recall. It's crossed very obviously, even in this light, by the Copernican rays, which is prime. The main way we determine the age, other than it doesn't have any rays itself, although on the good photography we now have, we know it has secondary crater patterns around it.
We're not looking at the same crater, are you?
Reinhold is right down here, Gino.
Where are you looking?
Well, it's south of Copernicus. South and a little west. Okay, I can see Landsberg now. And I'm afraid I can't shed any light, pardon the expression, on the old question we've had about the age of Landsberg relative to the Mare.
Okay.
Kepler ray pattern is very striking in this light. An anastomosing series of bands, which only average being radial. In most cases, they're a little off radial, but by joining together, they give you a general radial pattern. I just want to see. Okay, out the window 4, I have an excellent view of Kepler. Once again, albedo differences such as the are very clear, such as the distinction between the wall light or brighter wall materials and the rim, which in itself is brighter than the surrounding Mare. We can look right down some of the rays, and the rays are not completely linear. I'm looking now to the northwest. Gene, you can see Aristarchus way up there in the northwest. See it?
Yeah.
You ought to have a good view of Aristarchus. Very bright up in the northwest part of our field of view.
The inside of that crater almost looks as if it's backlit.
That's right. Well, it should be, strangely enough. And but I want these rays, when contrast to the maybe the feeling one would have that they are, once they get started, they form a linear pattern across the surface. They don't seem to have done that. As a matter of fact, they're quite strikingly curved along their pattern. They'll break from the general radius they're out on, curve away, and then curve back. There are one, two, three, four rays that go from to the northwest of Kepler, all of which show that non-linear characteristic.
Yeah, they're all radial, though.
They are radial in general, but when you look at them in detail, only portions of them are radial. And a single ray, which you can follow continuously, will bend and then curve back.
It's unique. We've got rays from, I guess those must be Copernicus over here, those long ones out to the right, which you may not be able to see. Kepler and Wren are all intermingling up here.
Yeah, this is the area now we're going over where the gamma ray work on 15 indicated a relatively high radioactivity. And not yet. It's come on.
Houston, America here. You see the torque angle?
I was going to look for the Hortensius domes near Copernicus, but got sidetracked with Kepler and missed them.
They
were not
those,
obvious,
Ryan.
In looking in the general.
Okay, I'll torque at 845.
Roger.
Okay, we're getting out into Procellarum. Oceanus Procellarum proper now, and before long should pick up the medial ridge that makes that mare so distinctive from the other mare. That's the ridge that stretches something like 2,000 kilometers north to south, if you want to tie a number of things together. And probably is the moon's closest analogy to an oceanic ridge, which have been in the news over the last decade.
Roger.